Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Rhett Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
This is Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. Happy New Year. First podcast of 2022. And in this episode, I was able to talk with Angels relief pitcher Andrew Wants, a guy that, like many Angel players this season, made his debut in 2021. So we talk about that. We talk about his offseason, stuff on the field and how that whole season went, how he's preparing for the next season. And then if you listen to our podcast before, you also know that when we have guys like that on, we want to kind of get to know them also off the field and ways and joys off the field and stuff like that. So we talk about that. We find a common interest in golfing. So we talk a lot about that. His relationship with Austin Warren, another young pitcher that the Angels brought up this year, and other stuff too. So definitely give it a listen. I want to thank Andrew again. I hope you enjoy it. But here's my interview with Andrew Wan. I want to welcome in our next guest on the All Angel Podcast. You saw him make his debut in 2021, along with a lot of other Angels. Andrew Wan, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Just been hanging out with my fiance, Deanna, just kind of laying low.
Congratulations on that. I saw that post on your Instagram. That's another great thing that happened for you in 2021.
Oh, yeah. It was a hell of a year in 21. Hopefully 2022 can be a lot better.
And that, as I look around to make sure my wife's not around, because I don't want to get the date messed up. But for me, that's been married for just over 3 years. I still remember the process of, you know, the engagement, then the planning. How is that going with you? How is that whole process now? It's the off season. You got more time for it.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, we live together and she's been doing most of the work. I will say, I'm not going to lie to you guys, but it's been fun. I had no idea. She warned me before we started planning and, you know, calling people how crazy and how much stuff there is to plan. And it, once you start Zoom calling these people, booking these people, it's nuts.
Yeah. I can only imagine too, it's probably harder for you guys now because you are in the age of Zoom and maybe not meeting face to face with certain people because of everything going on. When we did in end of 17, 18, you know, we're still able to go places and meet people. So I'm sure yours is a whole different kind of,
It's a different ball game. And it's also been, sure. it's been harder because, you know, with COVID in 2020 and 21, like a lot of weddings and stuff have been pushed back. So, you know, trying to find vendors and stuff's been a nightmare, but
yeah, it's a process for sure. I remember it. Definitely. I remember it like it was yesterday. So 2021, you start the season out in Salt Lake and AAA, and all through your minor league career, the majority of it, you've been a starting pitcher, but then you get called up to the Angels. And then did they tell you off the bat that we're looking for you more as a bullpen piece, or what was the kind of communication with you with that?
Yeah, I knew that if I was going to get called up, it would be as a reliever. And I think the reason why in the minor leagues that they kept me a starter is because in college, like I was a starter my freshman year, reliever, sophomore, junior, and senior year. But I was always capable of going really long, like 3-4 innings as a reliever. So I think they wanted me to keep that length. And that's kind of why they had me start, because they wanted me to be able to go 4 innings if I needed to as a reliever. So, but I knew if I got called up, and there's some communication, they're like, look, you know, you get the call up, you'll be out of the pen. So I knew going into it.
So you get called up on July 3rd is when you officially get called up. Who was the first person you told? Better yet, how did you find out? And then who was the first person you told right after?
So we were in Oklahoma City playing the Dodgers AAA team. And me and Austin Warren were actually just, I think we were playing video games or setting up the PlayStation or something. Sitting in the hotel room, and our AAA manager, Lou, calls me and he goes, "Hey, what are you up to?" I said, "You know, just kind of hanging out, not doing much." He goes, "Well, you got the call up." And I mean, my heart kind of skipped a beat there. So it took me a second to kind of gather myself. And, you know, I ended that conversation. The first person I call was my mom and dad. And the craziest thing about it is, the night before I got the call, my dad, he actually called me the day I got the call up. And he's like, "I had a dream last night. You got called up." Like, and then I got the call later that day. So it was kind of weird, but I called them. And it was 1 a.m. in Oklahoma. So back home, it was 3 a.m. And they woke up, obviously wide awake at that point. I was, you know, it wasn't really much of a conversation. We were all just like taken away. And then I called Deanna and called my sister. So I got the family on the phone. And then that night was just a scramble. Everyone's booking flights. Everyone's calling each other, you know, trying to get the same flight. And it was crazy. And needless to say, none of us got much sleep that night.
No, I can only imagine. And like I kind of said before, a lot of guys made their debuts with the Angels. You talk about Austin Warren, you know, Brandon Marsh, Reed Detmers. I mean, there's a good list of guys that made their debuts with the Angels. How cool was that to have those kind of guys you've played with on probably even multiple levels of the organization to be making their debuts at the same time you are?
It was so much fun to be able to share those experiences with those guys. Especially, you know, Austin Warren, me and him have been neck and neck through the system for the last 4 years. So it's really, he was probably the most special to have on the team. But then again, I had known Brandon Marsh for a while. He's been in the system. We played in 19 together in AA. So it was just a lot of fun. It didn't, you know, it kind of took the pressure of, you know, being in the big leagues, because you kind of have your friends with you. You know, when I first got called up, it was different because I didn't know anyone. You know, I didn't know Alex right. Cobb. You know, it was just a different vibe. I'm not saying it was bad. It's just I didn't have any friends at that point. So
right.
Towards the end of the season, I mean, we really started to have fun, enjoy ourselves, and the pressure was lifted a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you see some of these guys, these veterans, like you maybe see them in passing at spring training, but after that, you really don't cross paths much if you're, you know, in the minors and stuff like that. So that makes complete sense. So again, you get called up on July 3rd. You make your debut on July 4th, which probably makes it real easy for a lot of people to remember when you made your debut July 4th. Oh, so yeah. I'm going to play this video, and I want you to tell me what's going through your head as I play this video.
All right.
So you're on the mound, ready to take the ball. What's going through your head when you're about to ready to make your first, you know, appearance?
A lot of deep breaths were taken from the time I left the bullpen to the mound. And I was just kind of soaking it all in. You know, I was looking around. I was like, you know, this is what I've been dreaming about since I was a little kid. And I kept myself in the moment. I mean, that's the only thing I knew how to do, really, you know the situation, know where the runners are, know who you got up. You know, a lot of prep work is done behind the scenes on the hitters. So you kind of got to focus on, you know, attacking each hitter. And I just knew that, you know, my family was in the stands, and once I was done, I was like, man, it didn't really hit me at the time until I got back in the locker room, and it kind of started to set in how special that was. So not a lot of emotions were felt on the mound, but before and after is kind of when all the emotions and how, you know, realizing my dream came true. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you hear that a lot from the guys that debuted this year, was that at the time of when they're on the mound or at the plate, it's like they kind of black out and then it sinks in that day or maybe a week later or something like that. You know, July 4th, you make your debut. How was it? You know, you're not just able to look back at your whole year. You end up getting sent back to AAA for a little bit and then back up to the majors throughout the season. How, when you look back at the season, how was it to you? Like, is it stuff that you know, stuff you can grow upon? Is it like, how do you look back and summarize 21 for you?
In the 3 months or however long I was in the big leagues, I had learned more in that span than any period in baseball ever. So, it was a learning experience. I learned so much on, you know, how to attack hitters, what to look in hitters, you know, talking with catchers, Stassi, and Suzuki, just trying to gain as much knowledge as I can from these guys, 'cause they know what it takes. They've been in the league for years, and 21 was, it was just nice to learn so much, 'cause you know, you play the game for, you know, 20 years of your life like me, and you think you have it figured out, but once you make it to the big leagues, you find out you're pretty infantile when it comes to what you know. So it was nice to learn so much. I have a lot to grow on mentally and physically, and this offseason has been a very productive one.
Obviously, you can't really talk about the 21 season, Angels 2021 season, without talking about Shohei Ohtani, what he did in his MVP season. You being a pitcher, you knowing what it takes to, are you now learning what it takes to be prepared on the mound and the work that goes in, not only mentally, but physically for your body to pitch. And then you see this guy in your dugout that is doing that at a great level and just hitting at a great level. How fun was that to watch him day in and day out?
Oh, it was extremely special to be a part of. And to watch day in and day out how he carried himself, his work ethic is unbelievable, and how professional he is at things. You know, I mean, he's got the whole world watching him pretty much, and just how he was able to handle the media, you know, all the press and everything, and still perform the way he did on the field. It was unbelievable in my point of view. But yeah, almost every night, you know, sitting in the bullpen, chatting it up with the guys, and Shohei's up and he hits he hits nukes and yeah. My jaw drops. You know, I'm like a fan. I'm like a little kid watching him hit these home runs that are just towering.
Like in the one in Seattle before
in
the All-Star
Seattle
break.
Especially. Yeah. And we're in the bullpen and we're just like, what in the world is this guy on? I mean, he's on a different level than guys in the league. I mean, it's just crazy how he does that. I don't understand.
Yeah, he's definitely fun to watch. And as a lot of Angel fans, we're looking for that next season. So you mentioned the offseason going great for you. Obviously, you know, the big, I guess, elephant in the room is the lockout. And I won't really ask you about your opinion about that. That's a whole different issue. But it is kind of, you know, how's your training going when you don't necessarily know when the call is going to be to, like, hey guys, we're doing this. Like, you don't have a report day, you don't have a schedule laid out in front of you like you would normal years. How does that affect your off-season workout at all, or are you kind of just keeping to the same routine?
You know, I'm kind of preparing myself as if we're going to start on time. You know, there's not been much communication, as you know, so you don't really know. So, and my perspective is I'd rather be ready than not ready in case it does start on time. So it's kind of been a normal off season. Haven't really changed much when it comes to, you know, timing of bullpens and how much I'm throwing. So it hasn't changed.
Well, that's good. 'Cause yeah, as fans, we're definitely hoping for it to end sooner rather than later. And I'm sure, you know, as players, guys that are used to routines are in the same boat. So, something that Absolutely. We've talked about, you know, in person a little bit and like through DMs is golfing, something I really enjoy, something that really enjoy. Who is on the Angels? Who is your number one golf buddy? Who's your guy that you can call and say, hey, let's go play 18 on Saturday or whatever?
I actually golfed with a variety of guys this year, which was nice. But Warren is usually we're usually the duo that kind of hits the links together. And I'm actually going tomorrow morning to play. Going to be a little nippy, nice. But hopefully we'll make some birdies.
What any certain kind of course that you favorite, or any course that you've maybe not play regularly, but have played maybe once or twice, where you're like, that's a place that I want to keep on going back to?
Oh yeah. There's a couple places, you know, within an hour of me. It's Pinehurst. I'm, you know, a nice. Lot of,
yeah.
You know, if there are golfers out there, you've heard of Pinehurst. So
yes.
me and some buddies, we went down there this off season and played, and it's just it's like the Mecca of golf, you know?
Yeah.
And then another course is Tobacco Road, which is about 30 minutes south of Raleigh. And it is just the most bizarre course. It's got every shot's blind shot. I mean, just the layout of the course is crazy. And those are my two favorite spots for sure.
So who's the best golfer on the Angels that you've played with? It could be someone in the majors or someone maybe you played with in the minors.
Warren, I hate to keep bringing him up, but he is a hell of a golfer. Yeah, he's damn good golfer.
Is he is it short game?
Hopefully that changes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good all around. I mean, he drives the ball. His irons are spot on. I mean, he's always throwing darts at the pin from, you know, 195, 200 yards out. It's just crazy what he can do. A lot of feel. But hopefully it can change. Hopefully I can bring a little more competitiveness. I actually got new irons coming. So hopefully that'll elevate the game a little bit.
What kind did you get?
I got TaylorMade Sim 2 Maxes.
The Sim 2s? Okay.
Yeah.
What, you know, is this going to be your first time playing this year in 2022, or have you gone out already in the new year?
Well, this one, technically it'll be the first time I played on New Year's Day. Or when did I play? Maybe New Year's Day. I might have played on the first. We played at me and my buddy played at Lonnie Pool, which is NC State's the college course. Okay, so
college, that's
great course.
Yeah, I'm playing Sunday, and that'll probably be my I'm playing Monday because of the holiday, and that's going to be my third time this year. But
oh yeah, you got me beat. I just it's just the last ever since New Year's, really. It's been bitter cold.
Yeah, that's the thing about Southern California. It's like we had a rain spell that lasted 2 weeks that kind of washed away any chances of playing. But then since then, it's been, a little, and you say nippy, I'm thinking like, oh, it's 60 degrees at night. I'm guessing it's probably a little bit colder for you guys over there, but that's kind of how it is, you know, at 8 o'clock, 8:30 tee time. It's like, oh man, it's 60 degrees. It's cold over here. But
We actually, our tee time, let me see. Our tee time was at 9:15, but it got moved back to 10:15 because of frost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's tomorrow,
a couple times to us.
Tomorrow at 10, it's going to be 40 degrees. So we're going to be bundled up.
So out of all your friends on the Angels that you played golf with, who's like the most likely of guy to just kind of show up right at, you know, you say 9:15 tee time, he's showing up like at 9:14 throwing on his shoes?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I didn't play with too many guys. I played with Selman. I played with Hergett. Who else did I play with? Oh, when we were in Triple, I played with like Packy and Marsh. Played with Rojas. I don't know. I played once with Marsh. He didn't seem too interested in the golf, but you know, he kind of strolled up, whacked the ball around. He enjoyed riding the cart more than anything. But I would probably say Marsh. He's most likely to show up at time. And, just kind of, he's there for a good time. Let's just put it that way.
And that kind of leads into my next question too. When you're on the golf course, and you know, we've all had those rounds where it's like, hey, I'm here to have fun. Are you the type that's going to, you know, have a couple of drinks, or are you the competitive type where, no, I got to be on my game because I got to win, or I got to, you know, shoot my best score? Are you like, yeah, whatever, give me a six pack and let's roll?
You know, yeah. It really depends on the front nine. You know, if I'm striking the ball well, there will be no drinks other than water consumed and I'm going low. But if the front nine is just all over the place, you know, we're going to crack a couple and enjoy ourselves. So I go into it, you know, I'm trying to shoot low, shape some shots, but doesn't always happen.
Yeah, that's how it is with my brother plays. He's like that too, where it's not even the whole front nine. It's probably the first five he'll determine whether or not. And then there's a plateau. Yeah, there's like a graph where he's going up. It was like, okay, now he's loose. He's not trying to force it. And he's killing the ball. And then maybe another couple of drinks in, then it goes down because now it hit him. And now he's seeing a couple balls out there that he's not sure which one to swing.
Oh yeah, so. For sure. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, on the turn, maybe grab a couple cold ones and, you know, if I'm not playing too well, maybe that could be the answer that day. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to have fun. I don't, you know, I'm not playing on the weekends in front of the TV, you know, on TV. Yeah. So I'm not, but I am competitive, you know, if I'm going out with some guys, like I'm trying to beat them. That's just kind of my nature, I guess.
Are you the type though? Like, I know a couple guys that are friends of mine that golf, but, and don't necessarily watch it on TV. Do you like, if there's a tournament on, whether, you know, it doesn't have to be like a major, but will you turn it on and just watch, or are you just like, I just enjoy playing, not necessarily not watching?
Oh yeah, I'm watching all the time. I actually got on my phone just like the NBC sports package just so I can watch, you know, whatever golf tournament's on. I'm watching all the time, especially so, you know, the majors, you know, Masters week. Yeah. Like, I download the Masters app every year, you know, I'm all in. You know, maybe where
so would you feel about, how did you feel about the match this last Thanksgiving when it was Koepka and DeChambeau?
You know, I thought it was funny just because, you know, they kind of got some beef with each other. So I thought it was funny how they chirped at each other. I didn't get to watch all of it, but the parts I did see was, you know, competitive, fun golf. I love watching. And, you know, like Phil and Tiger did the match. I mean,
that was fun.
I think I rewatched it three times. I mean, I loved it.
I also like
to watch a lot of golf,
especially those ones where, oh yeah, me too. I like that one where they mixed in Manning and Barkley. Cause then you can see, I don't know, I guess part of me is like, okay, cool. These guys aren't necessarily, I mean, you have the tour pros that are just going to kill every time, but then you have the other guys who are like, okay, they're not as good, so you kind of feel a little better about yourself. You're like, okay, all right, you know, absolutely. Barkley, you know, hooks one, you're like, hey, I've done that before. I'm like, okay, I don't feel so bad about my, I don't feel so bad about myself, kind of do. I love
the best
watching
part is like, you know, Brady, when Tom Brady was playing, you know, Barkley was just chirping him the whole time, and then he chips went in from 150 out, and it was just fun to watch him interact with each other. And you're right, you know, a non-golfer watching a non-golfer play, yeah, gives you a little more perspective. Like, all right, I could, you know, I could maybe do a little better in that. But,
you know, and you talk about those, the match, what they've done really well is the chirping. You hear the chirping, you hear what's going on in between shots or before the putt or anything like that. How much of the chirping do you hear when you're on the mound? Like, you know, someone's on first and you hear chirping back and forth or anything. Do you hear that stuff between other players at all? Or are you so focused in that you don't even really pay attention to that?
You know, I really don't hear anything out there. Even spectators, players, now, like, you know, if I'm communicating with my teammates, you know, like I'm locked into that type of stuff, but anything, you know, outside of my focus on the plate, I don't really hear too much.
So you mentioned your friendship with Austin Warren, and he also got called up in this season. And you guys, I was told that you guys were actually also roommates through your years of the minor leagues. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and it's, you know, you or Austin, who's the better driver?
Who's a better driver?
Yeah.
I think we're both reliable, but I'll go with myself. I like to drive, though. I'm the type of guy, like, if we're going to go somewhere, I'll drive. Like, I trust myself, so I'll say myself. Nothing against his driving. He's great, but...
I think I asked Brandon that same question, Brandon Marshall, that same question about Joe. And he says, yeah, because every time Joe drives, he like, he has to hold on to something or kind of has to clinch up a little bit. So that's always a fun thing to kind of ask and see what people's perspective is. Who's the better cooker? Who's the best cook?
Oh man. I enjoy cooking. You know, I'm always looking up recipes, trying to do different things, especially grilling. I love to grill. But me and Austin, we don't, I mean, during the season, you really only have to worry about breakfast on your own. And ever since we lived together in Hiye, we've kind of always just made breakfast together. Like, he'll cook the sausage, I'll make the breakfast potatoes, and, you know, you kind of make how your own eggs. So we haven't really... No, I guess we haven't made. We're even. We're pretty.
You have to draw on that one. Better music selection, or better, maybe not best music selection, but who has like a wider variety of music?
Mm, that's tough. We both love country. Both love rap. But I will say, like, in the off season, I tend to listen to more country. I'm kind of in like a cruise mode all the time. I'm not in any hurry. I'm not trying to get hype. Now, if I'm lifting, you know, max day or something, I'll listen to some crazy rap. But
yeah,
you know, we're both pretty similar. I hate to keep saying this, but we're similar in a lot of things. I mean, we listen to country, rap. I think I might listen to more EDM type stuff. I think I dabble in that genre more. Well, like I said, we're similar in a lot of ways.
Which one of you is better about being on time?
I'll say I am. I'm very punctual.
Yeah.
Like I get it from my mother. Like if I'm not 30 minutes early, I'm getting anxious.
Yeah, so that's how I am. And then my wife was the complete opposite, and now she's slowly coming over to my side to where Janice. To when we first started really dating, she's like, why do we have to show up at this time? I thought, you know, the party starts at 6. Why do we got to show up at, you know, 6? And why can't we show up at 6, you know, or 7 o'clock? And I'm like, the way I look at it, if you're the first one there, you also can be the first one to leave and no one's going to look at you sideways. So I'm like, let's just go.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I definitely know
Deanna,
that one.
If I tell Deanna we're leaving at 6:30 for dinner, you know, she's still getting dressed, putting makeup on at 6:35. And I'm just sitting there like, I'll be in the car, you know.
Yeah, I'll look. I'm like, are you gonna get up? And like, because I kind of know how long it takes her to get, you know, dressed and ready.
Oh,
I'm like, are you gonna start now or like what's going on?
Kind of same boat.
Yeah, you go. Who's the cleaner roommate? Who like really, you know, will clean the kitchen afterwards without anyone saying really anything?
Gosh. We're both neat people. I will say that. I will say he wins when it comes to like packing our bags for a road trip. Like when you look at his suitcase, I will say like I'm neat. Mine's folded. Everything's in there nice. But like Warren's got like everything is perfect. So I don't know if that's like his little OCD when it comes to that, but he's very neat when it comes to how he packs, what he packs. He's very good at that.
So myself, a couple of buddies of mine, we like to collect things, you know, obviously baseball related, sports related, whether it be like bobbleheads, you know, when I go to different stadiums, I collect like magnets from the stadium or whatever. It doesn't have to be sports related at all, but do you have any kind of collection or anything like that you had now, or even maybe when you were growing up?
Growing up. Yeah. You know, the little bats you can buy at the field,
the souvenir bats.
I used to collect a bunch of those. Yeah, and then when I was real young, I was into baseball cards. So,
yeah,
in my parents' house in my old closet up on the shelf, I still have like the thick binders with the sleeves.
Too,
I haven't gone through those. Yeah, I haven't gone through that in probably.
You might have some gems in there you don't even know years. About now that you're about to say you can look back and be like,
I could. Hey, I could. I could have, you know, I could have a Griffey $1,000
rookie card or something.
Never know.
Baseball players are known for their superstitions. Do you have any when it comes to whether warming up or just your daily routine?
I do. When it comes to warming up and how I prepare myself, yeah, I do the same things just because I know, you know, what works best for my body and how I need to get ready for the game. To start the year, like, let's say I have a good outing, my first outing is good, I'll wear the same sliding shorts, I'll wear the same socks. I put everything on the same way. So I'm very superstitious. But let's say I have a bad outing, you know, I was like, well, I got to change the socks, change the sliders, you know, change something up.
Do you carry that into golfing at all? Because I know some buddies that were like, if they shoot a double, okay, that ball's done for the day, and they'll toss it in their bag and they won't use that ball again. They'll use a new ball next hole. Is there anything like that you do with golfing at all, or is it just kind of whatever?
Not really. Golf, I don't go crazy when it comes to golf, no.
No.
No, I will say that lately, the last couple months, I've been more of a hit 10 balls at the range and go to the first tee. I used to be, I need to hit a, you know, 50 ball bucket. Like, I got to dial every club in. No. I've found that I'm, especially towards the end, you know, 16, 17, 18th hole, like, I'm not as tired. You know, I'm not wearing myself out on the range.
Yeah, then I always say, I always end up leaving my good shots on the range if I do that, you know, 25, 30. It's like, man, that was great. And then the first tee, you're like, all right, you know, have a little bit of confidence. Next thing you know, you're like, what happened? Is like,
that's exactly what happened.
15 minutes ago, I striped one right down the middle, and now I'm like, gotta go find it or something. Yeah,
I save my shots now.
So we talked a little bit before we started recording. Monday, national title game. You being a big Georgia fan, we kind of talked back and forth even at the semifinal part of it, but you called it, you got it right. How did it feel watching that game and just the game in general?
Well, I thought it was one of the best. It was one of the best games I've watched in a while, just from the defensive side. I mean, just to see these, I mean, just pure athletes running around the field at 350-pound linemen chasing down a quarterback, like, it was just a spectacle to watch on both sides of the ball. And I thought it was competitive for the most part. You know, towards the end, Georgia kind of opened it up, but very competitive game. I enjoyed watching it.
Is that the sport? If I were to tell you, you can be a professional in any other sport other than baseball, would you pick football or would you pick something different?
You know, I'm not going to leave you with, I'd probably play golf, because you probably already would have thought that. But I think other than golf and baseball, yeah, football would probably, because I was a quarterback kind of growing up my whole life, played in high school. So I really have a love for football. And I think, you know, if I didn't love baseball at such an early age and I started playing football, I would have pursued that for sure.
At what point did you, you know, you said high school, is that where kind of where it stopped your high school? Was it like your senior year? Was it your junior year where you started focusing solely on baseball? When did you make that switch?
Yeah. Well, I kind of knew, like I said, from an early age, I mean, ever since I can remember T-ball, like I've always loved baseball. Like, that was my dream the whole time. But I was also the kid, like, I couldn't sit still. Like, I wanted to throw the football with dad in the street or shoot hoops in the driveway. Like, I was always doing something. And then, you know, when I got to high school and it was time to commit to a college and, you know, get serious about a sport, I picked baseball, obviously. Didn't play my senior year of high school, which I would have been the starting quarterback. So that was kind of a tough
decision.
Tough thing to let go, just because I enjoyed it. You know, high school football, you know, Friday Night Lights. I mean, you want to be the star. So that's kind of when I committed to UNC Greensboro junior year of high school. So, and the quarterbacks before me, they had gotten, you know, torn rotator cuff, torn labrum. And I was like, you know, I'm not going pro. I'm not going to play, you know, college football. Like, I'm not going to risk it. So I hung the cleats up, hung the helmet up.
But it's always fun to watch when, and you see that you mentioned those defenses. Like, I'm glad I'm not out there taking those hits because that's a whole different animal. The NFL playoffs are going to start. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'd like to see the Bengals, to be honest with you. You know, I like Joe Burrow, you know, what he did in the national championship, kind of like a young stallion, you know, got a little swagger to him. And plus Cincinnati, you know, you don't really hear too much about him. But then again, you know, I like the Chiefs. I like how fast and explosive their offense is. And then you got Tom Brady. I mean, how can you go wrong with the GOAT? Just, you know, being able to watch him do that at, I don't know, is he 44, 45?
Yeah, it looks just 35, but yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'd like to see a team that hasn't done in a while.
Yeah, that's another good thing coming up. That's a lot of fun, and we'll see how that plays out. Andrew, I want to thank you again for jumping on. Like you said, between your workout schedule, planning a wedding, I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on right now. I really appreciate you jumping on.
No problem. Great hearing from you.
Again, I want to thank Andrew for taking some time out and chatting with us, with myself. Really appreciate it. I mentioned it at the end of that. He has a lot of stuff going on, getting ready for the season, planning a wedding. If you've ever had to plan a wedding like myself, you know exactly how much time that takes up and just kind of mental space that takes up. So for him to be going through all that and fitting us in, I really, really appreciate it. A lot of fun talking to him. Hopefully be able to get on the golf course with him, you know, next time he's in California. I told him, hey, you know, call me up. I'll make you and your buddies look great out there. But, you know, something hopefully to look forward to. But I really enjoyed his time and also to time zones. For him to be able to stay up a little bit later, being on the East Coast and the West Coast, I really appreciate to get that to fit into my schedule especially. So much props to him. I really enjoyed it. Can't wait to hopefully see him in Tempe and definitely see him in Anaheim this coming season. Really enjoyed it. So there's a lot of stuff in the news right now that I have yet to talk about on the podcast, whether it be the possible return of Ty Buttrey, the lockout situation, you know, there's stuff with Ken Rosenthal and the commissioner and that whole fiasco. I am, you know, thinking of putting out a podcast next week to kind of talk about those issues and anything else that's kind of popped up since then. Obviously the commission or the owners and the players are meeting Thursday. So if anything kind of comes out of that, obviously that's another talking point we can talk about. But if there's anything you want to talk about, questions, comments, concerns, definitely reach out to us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com or even DM us in our Instagram or our Twitter. That's @Halo_Haven. And we will definitely, you know, talk about that and mention you on the podcast. But that's probably going to be sometime next week. Definitely look at it for maybe like Tuesday or Thursday of next week to record the new episode. And again, looking at kind of recouping what has happened so far or reviewing what has happened so far in the off season, a lot of stuff that I think is worthy of a podcast, but definitely check it out. And now too, with 2022 starting up, we're going to hopefully start cranking out a little bit more as hopefully the lockout ends and we get closer and closer to the season. Favor to ask all you listeners out there, please rate, review this podcast on the iOS. And now you can do that on Spotify. You can leave a certain star rating on Spotify. Please do that for us. Helps us kind of grow the podcast. Write a review. We love seeing the reviews of people that leave them. So please do that if you haven't already. If you have, thank you. We really, really appreciate it. But getting ready for this 2022 season, again, trying to make another push to make it better and also grow it and try to reach out to more fans. So definitely do that. And again, anytime, whether it's a podcast specific kind of question or anything in general, please reach out to us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com or @Halo_Haven on both our Twitter and our Instagram. So definitely look out for another episode coming out next week. Get those questions in now, comments in now. But until then, I am Daniel Garcia, and this has been another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.